Truth News Network. Fake news, equity, inclusion, words that are all the buzz. You do know what buzz is, right? It's noise. And that's where we're headed. A culture of noise. More concerned with the topicality of the noise than the substance of the truth. Well, we're TNN, the Truth News Network. And you're in luck. The anti-buzzmaster is in, Dan Newman.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to TNN Live. And joining us right now, if I can get him on the line, are you there, Congressman? Let me get you queued up here. You've been in media. You know how it works when you sit here. You got to have everything just right. And Congressman Mike Johnson, 4th Congressional District in Northwest Louisiana, we welcome you as always to TNN Live. And let me say this. I don't know another member of the House of Representatives that's busier than you are, especially of late.
It feels that way.
You're under the gun. All the committee hearings that you had, I mean, we could sit here and name them ad nauseum. So many important things. We respect your time. We're very thankful when you can come and join us on the show. So let's dig right in. I want to ask you a few questions, kind of point you in a direction, and then as you feel led, just move on. What is your take? And I know you were part of this conversations. What's your take on the validity of what the IRS whistleblowers testified regarding Hunter and Joe Biden?
Well, we put a lot of stock in what the IRS whistleblowers have said because, as you know, they were intimately involved, have been intimately involved in the investigations. And they expressed their frustration to Congress under oath. These are not, you know, partisan individuals. In fact, it's quite the opposite, given their background and their testimony, explaining who they are and their own personal political proclivities and who they voted for in the past. What they came forward to tell us is that they're impeded in doing their jobs. They have uncovered this rather explosive evidence of Hunter Biden's misdeeds and illegal activity, and they have been told by people up the chain that they're not allowed to pursue it. I mean, that's in simple terms, that's what we have. And the big question is, why? Well, if Hunter's last name was not Biden, if it was Newman or Johnson or any other name, the guy would be in prison. Everybody knows that. But because he is part of the first family, you're watching in live time a complete double standard. There are indeed literally two tiers of justice in this country, one for the first family and one for everybody else. And it could not be on more vivid display, especially with what they're doing with Trump and all these other things. And the people are they're just fed up with it. They're dismayed. They're not shocked anymore because nothing surprises us. But people are concerned. We may not be able to maintain this system of justice if this is how the DOJ acts.
There's no question the DOJ has weaponized itself against all of us. Nobody seems to be exempt. And this goes far beyond nepotism, you know, the president and his son. It goes counter to the rule of law in the country, of which, by the way, I know you'll agree that this president, many in his administration, don't give a rip about the rule of law. I heard your back and forth conversation last week with Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. This guy has no commitment to the rule of law and just thumbs his nose every day, which, by the way, anybody constitutionally that chooses to ignore or go against federal law is complicit in the law breaking itself. That puts Mayorkas right in the line of fire for any accountability at whatever point we'll be able to hold him accountable for. Do you see that as a possibility? And by the way, you did a great job questioning him.
Well, thanks. It was hard for me to keep my religion in the Mayorkas hearing. I mean, the guy is, in my view, I mean, he's effectively public enemy number one. You trace so many of the societal ills and the things going wrong in our country right now, the fentanyl death crisis, you know, the leading cause of death for Americans aged 18 to 49, human trafficking, you know, the cartels operating like heads of state, making billions of dollars in the free flow of illegals. Probably the estimates are over 5 million in the last 2 years since these two, you know, Biden and Mayorkas took their offices. But we really believe the number is probably at least twice that high. I mean, this is, you know, those are the encounters that have been lodged at the border. But they say there's about 1.9 million gotaways on top of that number. But we know it's far more than that. I mean, we've caught 114 people on the terrorist watch list. We don't know how many of them have been captured and where they are in the country and what they're doing. I mean, all these things are traced back to one guy. Well, two people, the president, but Alejandro Mayorkas in particular, because he's the secretary of the department in charge of this. And they instituted policies. These didn't happen accidentally or because we're inept. It happened because they instituted policies to open that border up and allow this to happen. And he sits in front of a stand with a smug look on his face, lying under oath virtually every time he opens his mouth. And he does not care because he doesn't think he's going to be accountable. The guy should have been impeached a long time ago. I called for his impeachment 4 months after he took the oath to office when it became apparent what he was doing. But we only have the majority, the Republican Party, and one house. We have a small majority of that, one of the smallest in the history of the Congress. And Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are never going to convict any of these Biden administration officials on an impeachment trial in the Senate. I mean, I would be shocked if they do that. I mean, you could catch them with a dead, you know, with a dead body. They're not going to do anything. So Mayorkas knows that. And he also knows that all the scrutiny that's been focused on him is now being pushed up the chain. I mean, we're talking about Merrick Garland himself, the attorney general who presides over all this, by the way, who has hopelessly corrupted the Department of Justice and has all these untold terrible effects. And now, you know, the president himself, they're all committing offenses that probably fit squarely within the constitutional definition of impeachment. So Mayorkas knows that he's not the biggest fish anymore. And so he just stands in front of us and says things that he knows are not true. And at one point, you might have seen one of those clips, Dan. I just told him, Jim Jordan yielded me about 30 seconds at the end of his questioning. And I said, I don't have time for a question because you'll evade it, Mr. Mayorkas. But I just want to say, I've been on the House Judiciary Committee for 7 years. You are by far the most dishonest witness that has ever appeared before us. And it's shameful, but you have no shame. I mean, you know, I don't know. You can't shame the guy. He doesn't care. And it keeps us up at night. It's so frustrating for us.
We played that clip here at TNN Live, and we got a lot of input from it. People are just hacked off. It's sad that our government knows they can't be held accountable, especially Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, Mayorkas, and others for their wrongdoing right now, because we can't have an impeachment trial. Democrats are not, even if the House could forward over some articles of impeachment on any or all of them, the Senate's not going to vote to convict and put these people out of work, and they know that. And in the meantime, our nation is falling apart at the seams in a lot of areas, and they don't seem to care. That's what troubles the American people the most. They don't seem to care. So let me ask you this. Let's go back just for a minute. I want to segue into the Donald Trump stuff that's happening with Special Counsel Jack Smith. But before we go there, is there concrete evidence already that proves there really are legitimate bribery allegations against Joe Biden? We know about Hunter. What about the president?
Yes, that is the question. And the reason we asked that question, the reason you are, and you know, for listeners, you have a very savvy audience, I know, Dan, but let me say this before I answer that. Okay, impeachment is not a tool to be wielded lightly, right? It is the most serious consequential power that Congress holds. And even though House Democrats made a mockery of it, you know, the impeachments of Donald Trump, you know, as you remember, I was on the impeachment defense team twice, and we cried from the rooftops about how this was this would destroy our system because they used it for political purposes. And so House Republicans have a totally different view. I mean, we acknowledge the weight of an impeachment inquiry, which I think we're going to start soon. When we do that, I'll be helping to lead that because I'm on the Committee of Jurisdiction and Judiciary. We're going to be very sober-minded, you know, as we continue those investigations into the Biden family. And we know the political realities that you just recounted. I mean, you know, we have to make the case that we have to do the job. Now, why was the House? Why are we taking this as seriously as we are with regard to bribery? Because many people forget, in the impeachment clauses of the Constitution itself, okay, Article 1, Section 2, gives the House of Representatives, the sole power of impeachment. I mean, we are the ones who are to bring those articles forward. We have to do it. And when is that triggered? Well, one of the listed causes is in Article 2 of the Constitution, Section 4. It says the president and others shall be removed from office on impeachment for or conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now they tried to twist and turn and spin and say that, you know, that there's crazy allegations against Trump for high crimes and misdemeanors to try to fit that definition. It was all bogus. Everybody knows it now. But bribery is what it is. And if Joe Biden has indeed been involved in Hunter's crooked business dealings, it's very likely. I mean, they've been paid millions of dollars to the Biden family through all these shell companies and everything else for uncovering. Why? What did they get for that? Well, Devin Archer testified earlier this week that they were selling the brand. Well, what is the brand? The Biden brand is Joe Biden. At the time that these deals were done, he was vice president. Why was the family getting paid? They were being bribed so that they could exert influence over things that these oligarchs and foreign adversaries were involved in. I mean, you don't have to be a forensic scientist to figure this out. Everybody knows what's going on. So as the investigations continue, as the whistleblowers come forward, as the evidence is uncovered, it is painting a clearer and clearer picture of what we have. And if indeed this is true, and I think it is, we have no choice, Dan. It doesn't matter what the political calculation is, pro or con. We have a constitutional responsibility in the House to pursue articles of impeachment if the president was involved in bribes. And you're talking to one member of Congress who's convinced that he has been.
Getting what I think you meant when you said that is that there's a good chance now that there will be an impeachment proceeding against Joe Biden, at least in the House. If that happens, if it does happen, is it going to happen near time or are we looking at middle of next year before the election? Your thoughts there.
Well, I don't want to get out over my skis and answer either of those questions affirmatively this morning. Okay. And the reason is, it's not a political answer, but it isn't my call, right? So I'm the vice chairman of the House Republicans. I'm in House leadership. I'm high ranked on the House Judiciary Committee that has jurisdiction, and I'm the chairman of the subcommittee on the Constitution, which technically is where all this should begin. Okay. So, you know, my personal opinion.
Yes.
But I don't get to pull the trigger. It's not my job. It's the speaker's job, right? Now Kevin McCarthy has said in recent days, he said right before, last week, the end of July, he said it is beginning to appear that an impeachment inquiry is called for here. And I certainly believe that's true. And the inquiry is the kind of first step in that process where the Congress has greater discovery authority, subpoena authority, et cetera. It puts it all on steroids. And if anything ever merited that in the history of the country, this set of circumstances does. Okay, so I think that's Kevin's personal view as well. What he has said is he doesn't want to make a unilateral decision. He wants to make it, you know, Congress-wide. Well, reality is what he means is Republican conference-wide, because we're not going to get a single Democrat to go along on this. Okay, so which means if he's going to make a consensus decision in the House, we've got to get enough Republicans to agree that now is the time to move. Right. So there's a lot of things that have to happen for that to take place. I'm one of the guys who believes that time is of the essence and we have to move urgently. But as you and I know, once you open the barn doors and an impeachment inquiry, I think I know where it's going to lead. Right. So the question is, how long does it take? When do we get to that point? You know, we are going to do this by the book. And I know that frustrates a lot of our friends and supporters and people in the base, because they just want to go get this done. Well, I want to get it done too, whatever it is, whatever the appropriate constitutional thing is, but I want to do it in a way that is honorable, lawful, and right, because it needs to be for posterity, for the future, for the defense of the Constitution and the salvation of the Republic. We've got to get back to the rule of law, you know? And so it may move slower than some people want, even myself, but we have to do it the right way. And so that means doing our due diligence, doing the proper investigations, following the leads and the truth where it takes us. And wherever that is, that's going to be, I think, at least I'm going to advocate for us to do so. So I know that sounds like a long, complicated answer to a very simple, short question, but the simple answer is we're going to follow the rule of law. And I'm going to be jumping up, down, screaming, insisting that we do, because it matters. This is bigger than Joe Biden or the current situation or what they're doing to Trump. It's about maintaining this republic that we have, and we can't keep it if we abandon the rule of law.
You mentioned Devin Archer just a couple of minutes ago. For our audience, the full transcript, 141-page transcript of that meeting that happened Monday with the House Oversight Committee with Devin Archer. It was just released, and we have all 141 pages posted on our website, truthnewsnet.org. You can go grab and download them there. Let's segue, and I'm going to respect your time as we always do, but I can't let you get away without talking about the 900-pound gorilla in the room. Do you think there's any merit in any of Jack Smith's three indictments of Donald Trump so far? And we're told now a fourth one is likely to occur later today. Is there any merit in any of this?
Jack Smith has proven to be a political hack. I mean, it's look at the timing of what he's done. It's no surprise that the day after Devin Archer's extraordinary testimony to the Oversight Committee, the DOJ dropped more charges against President Trump. We should have expected it, right? I mean, he did it in, July, again this month. Every time there's a big development in our House investigations of Hunter Biden and the first family's crooked business activity, and that's what it is. But they're trying to distract the country from the real problem, and that is that President Biden is in serious trouble. Look, what they're doing, let me circle back to where you began this conversation, because I think at the end of the day, that's the main thing. This is a perilous moment in the history of our country, because there is now a widespread lack of faith in our critical institutions themselves. And Jack Smith is like an arsonist to the system of justice, and Merrick Garland is boss. And they all ultimately, of course, answer to the head of the executive branch, which is President Biden himself. The Biden DOJ, first they politicized our criminal justice system. They started doing that from day one. And now they're literally trying to criminalize political speech and behavior. I mean, the Biden DOJ is doing serious and lasting damage with these political hit jobs. And the DOJ is just, they constantly excuse the first family at the same time that they are relentlessly pursuing and seeking to destroy President Biden's top rival, and that's President Trump. I mean, everybody sees that. Everybody. It's irrefutable. And so we've got a real risk now, Dan. I hear from people all day long. I mean, millions of Americans may never again trust our justice system. It will take us years to restore that trust. And serious reform. And that's what bothers me. I mean, that is what keeps me up at night at the end of the day. We are losing the faith in the system of justice itself and all this nonsense. And it's only going to get more heated in the months to come.
Two questions, and I'll let you get away. One is, first of all, I've heard a couple of legal beagles talk about the January 6th indictment. This could give Donald Trump an opportunity, a real opportunity, to open up and really re-litigate election fraud in the 2020 election, because that's part of what this is all about, the way that he reacted to the alleged election fraud. Now, I know the popular thing up there in Washington, D.C. is to lay low, and I'm not asking you to dig in. But if that should happen, that would give Trump the chance to ask for documents, get the court to force the other side in these states, the big states where the results were finalized, and get people on record, and at least give, if nothing else, give an explanation to the court of why Trump was so upset about that. Do you think there's any merit there?
Well, sure. I mean, they could have opened a Pandora's box, because you're right, as a defendant, under these charges as they're specified, I mean, he has the right to defend himself, and part of that is that question. What was the trustworthiness of the 2020 election, you know, in these key states? I mean, I know. Look, I personally can tell you that Donald Trump believes that that election was stolen from him. This is not like a talking point. I know that there were people telling him that he lost legitimately, but there was a whole other group of people telling him that he didn't. And I mean, to this day, I believe he talks about it all the time. He thinks he was cheated. I talked to him. He called me probably 4 days after the election on my cell and ranted. He was so mad. What are we going to do about it? He is convinced that election was stolen from him because of a lot of different hijinks places. Okay, so the first question is, though, Dan, is the judge presiding over the case going to allow that latitude to go into all that? I mean, you would suspect that the judge would try to keep the inquiry tight, but I think the president and his lawyers have a great argument to make that in order to properly defend himself against these bogus charges, That is a very relevant question, right? They're trying to say, Jack Smith is trying to say, the president's been lying to everybody, as if that's a crime anyway. And that, you know, he knew one thing and said another. Well, Donald Trump then gets to prove what he believes and why. And so, it's perfectly legitimate. It would be a total circus in the court, which I think the judge would try to prevent. But you know, at the end of the day, let me just say this from a partisan perspective. I regret all of this. I think that what Jack Smith is trying to do is to use this and maybe all these issues as a distraction. They would rather us relitigate 2020 than talk about Joe Biden's abject failures as the president of the United States. And every second that all of us spend talking about these, you know, charges against Trump and his upcoming trials is less time we spend we're talking about the economy and the open border and, you know, every crisis. There's a crisis in every area of public policy. But we're not going to be talking about that. We're not going to prosecute the political case against Joe Biden because we're going to be talking about the criminal charges against Trump. And I think that's a disservice to the people of this country. And I think more and more people at the end of the day are going to throw their arms out and go, what's the point? I'm just unplugging. I'm not involved in politics anymore, you know, and that's the great concern we all have.
You're an attorney, constitutional attorney. You've done a lot on the national level with everything that goes into this upcoming trial, all of the discovery and the discovery requirements that everybody that gets into this has got classified clearance to look at documents, to talk to witnesses, etc. Is there any possibility, even a remote one, that we'll actually see a trial begin on May 20th, as it's set to do right now?
We'll see. I mean, you know, the president's attorneys have lots of motions to file. There's a lot of preliminary kind of issues that have to be resolved with the court. In this latest, matter, they're going to try to remove it from the District of Columbia and move it to West Virginia or some other federal court of appropriate jurisdiction, because the president has obviously a fantastic claim to make that he can't get a fair trial in D.C. I mean, that's almost like the thing speaks for itself. So you'll see lots of decisions preliminarily. Some of those may be appealable. I mean, I think that this could drag out for quite a while. But obviously, they want to set this for next summer, next fall, right in the middle of the heat of the campaign, where Donald Trump is presumed to, is going to be the nominee of the party. And what better joy could they have in the midst of all that? You know, it's shameful what they've done. And speaking of Pandora's boxes, I think they truly have, the Democrats have truly opened the ultimate Pandora's box now. And it's a real problem for us going forward.
Have you interfaced with Trump recently about what's going on right now?
I haven't spoken to him personally in a couple months. His assistants, you know, call on all of us and talk to us all the time.
But, sure.
I haven't interacted with him. I've been a little busy in the house.
Yeah. Your staff, by the way, is really, really good, and they're running rabid behind you trying to keep up. Congratulations to them. We had a difficulty putting this get together because of your schedule. And I'm appreciative, as are our people that listen in. We have a big audience today, and it'll go up on our website, and there'll be multiple downloads. It's really good for us when you can take time and come visit with us. We're all over the world, actually, but we have a big audience in your district, and we're always glad when you come. Thanks for doing that.
You got it, my friend. Keep doing good work. We appreciate you.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear. TNN, the Truth News Network. Truth News Network.